God laid out, we would find out that our lives would be much better. Amen. We would live healthier. We'd live more blessed life in the way that we live. But we know that there's a lot of things going on, and there might come a time when we aren't able to have church. If that time comes, we will be live streaming, we'll be broadcasting, and we will still do that. We'll still have our services. And Sister Debbie pointed out we've had some trouble with our website. We didn't realize it was down until somebody told us the other day. And we found out it was all because something changed and our web name was now too long. So we had to change our website name and shorten it up a little bit to make it work. But we've got that taken care of. And what we can't get, who we can't reach live streaming, we'll try to get out on CDs. We'll try to get it out different ways. Some folks don't want Facebook, won't try Facebook, but are online and can go to the website and check that out. So we'll make every effort to do it. But in the light of all the problems that are going on, people are becoming worried. But in Psalm 112, he encourages us in this psalm to be strengthened by realizing that we have a hope in the Lord. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." Father, this morning we come to you, mindful, Father, of the things that are going on in the world that we live in today. But Father, just as mindful, Lord, that you're the one that's still in control. You're still on the throne. You still have all power. You can still do all things. And Lord, we come to you this morning realizing and knowing, Father, that because we belong to you, we need not fear, Father, the things of this world, Lord, but to set our affections on things above. And God, look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, to bring us through every trial. And Lord, if it's your desire, Father, not to bring us through the trial, but to take us through the trial, Lord, we just pray, God, that as you take us home, Father, we would go home rejoicing in you, realizing and knowing, Father, that you know all things and you do all things well. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for watching us. We thank you for keeping us. And Lord, we ask you for health. We ask you for safety. We ask you to guard us, God, and to keep us where we need to be. We ask you, Lord, to guide our leaders, Father, and those who are trying to combat this virus as it spreads throughout our country. And Lord, we just ask you to give them the wisdom and the understanding they know. We pray for, Lord, those that are in our midst and those that we know that are very susceptible. And Lord, just ask you to strengthen them in body and help them, God, to be able to stand and overcome the things, Father, that are going on. Now, Lord, let your will be done. Let your name be exalted. And help us, Father, to praise and glorify you in everything we do. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to preach to you this morning about the blessed man. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I can look at my life and I can say that I'm blessed. Amen. I know I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I was born in America. That's probably one of the greatest blessings anybody in the world can claim today, amen, is being born in the United States of America. I'm blessed to be an American because in America I'm free to worship God. I'm free to assemble and to praise His name. I'm free to uplift Him in everything. I'm free because I've been given that right, not just by God, but by my government, amen. In the the type of government that we have. I'm a blessed man, and I know I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man because of all that God has bestowed upon me. He's given me a wife. I tell her all the time, I said, I know this for a fact, that apart from Jesus, there's nobody in this world that loves me like you do. Amen. I've never been loved in this world like my wife loves me, and I thank God for her. She's a blessing to me, and I realize because of her that I am blessed, and I have a blessing, and I appreciate that blessing, and I'm thankful to God for it. I'm blessed because I had a great job. I've got a great retirement. The best job I ever had is being retired. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I retired, everybody says, how's retirement? I says, the best job I ever had. Amen. I'm enjoying every minute of it. Sometimes I work myself crazy and go crazy, but that's just the way it is. And I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time in it. And I hope it don't end too soon. But if it does, praise God. I'm glad for the time I had. Amen. I'm blessed. I've got children and grandchildren. And I love them and they love me. Amen. And I got to spend some time last night with my great-grandchildren, and they just come and hugging us and telling us that they love us and all these things. And man, it just makes your heart swell up and just makes you get all warm. And we just appreciate God for His many blessings. I praise God. I'm blessed because of this church. There's folks here that support me, that encourage me, that help me, that are a blessing to me that you don't even know sometimes that you've been a blessing to me. I just thank God for every one of you. I appreciate you. I'm privileged to be blessed to preach the precious word of God. I'm blessed to see souls saved. I'm blessed to see lives changed. Oh, I'm just blessed, and I know I'm blessed. The Bible says the beginning of the blessed man in verse number 1 is one that has a desire for God. His life is a testimony of godly desire. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. He fears the Lord, not that he's a scared of Him because he's in terror, but he fears the Lord because he knows who he has. Praise God, I know who my God is. Amen. I know what my God's done. I know what my God has promised. And I know what my God is going to do. Amen. He said He would never leave me nor forsake me. I don't have to go through any trial or any problems I face in this world by myself. And I don't have to be alone. My God is with me. He said He would be with me. He created me. He formed me. Amen. That's why these little innocent babies that are being murdered systematically are so important to us as children of God that we protect them. They are a blessing of the Lord. They are a gift of God. Blessed is the man that has his quiver full, the Bible says. I know I'm blessed because I fear the one that has created me. I fear the one that holds the reins of my life and has control over all things that are going to face me in this life. And because of that, I enjoy His word. I don't get into it sometimes the way that I need to and want to, but praise God, when I do get in the word of God, there's always something that blesses my soul. He delighteth greatly in His commandments. He don't just believe it, read it, or accept it, but He knows it is God's word. Amen. And that's the reason that He delights in it. Amen. It's one thing to say, well, I read the Bible. That's good. Do you believe the Bible? That's good. Do you accept the Bible? That's good. But do you believe that it is the inspired, unadulterated Word of God, that is truly God's Word? It's truly God's commandment. It's truly God's guide for our lives. I believe it wholeheartedly. Some people, they worship the King James Bible like it's some magical thing. I reverence and I revere the King James Bible, but I worship the one who spoke it. I worship the one that breathed it. I worship the one that gave it. And praise God, I won't preach out of anything but a King James Bible. I guess if I was somewhere and I wasn't able to get a hold of one and they handed me something else, I could figure enough of the King James out of it. Amen. To preach it and to preach it right. But praise God, if I have my choice and I have my druthers and I have my ability to choose what I'm going to do, I'm going to preach out of this old King James Bible, not because of the Bible itself, but because of who spoke it, who breathed it, and what it represents. He finds great joy and happiness in God's Word. Greatly. It isn't just a casual delight. It says, He delights greatly in God's Word. loved and admired for what it is and who gave it. The beginning of the blessed man is a godly desire. Amen. You know what? You can never be fully blessed in your life until you get a godly desire about you. Amen. When God becomes the greatest impetus in your life, when he becomes the most important thing to you in life, amen, when he is your desire, amen, then you will really begin to know blessings. You know, you can have all the things that this world has to offer. Some of the richest people in this world are never satisfied, never at peace. Howard Hughes at one time was the richest man in the world. But he didn't live a blessed life. He lived a life where he had things. He lived a life where he had great wealth. But he wasn't a blessed man. Matter of fact, he lived as a recluse. Man, before the coronavirus was around, he didn't have nothing to do with anybody. Anyway, the only people that had seen him was his doctors. The ones that looked after him, the ones that needed to minister to his physical needs firsthand. He didn't want people around. He was a fearful man, afraid of catching something that might kill him. I got news for you. If the Lord spares his coming to get his church, we're all going to go by the way of the grave anyway. Yeah. Amen. And to the child of God, the grave is nothing to be feared. Amen. Amen. It's just a stepping stone to completion. It's just a stepping stone to fulfilling what God has said. The Bible tells us plainly that when the body returns to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not worried about leaving this old temple here and giving this old body up, because one day I know I'm going to get another one. Amen. I'm going to get a glorified body. I'm going to get a perfect body. I'm going to get a body that's not affected with sickness and illness and disease and has problems and things wrong with it. I'm going to get a new and a perfect body. Amen. And praise God, I'm glad of that, and I know that, and I know because of that, I'm a blessed man. Amen. And I want to set my hearts and my desires, I want to set my affections on the things above. But listen, I move on past the beginning of the blessed man to the bounty of the blessed man. Verses 2 to 6. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth a favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Look at this. The bounty of the blessed man isn't in what he possesses in this life, but it's the testimony of God's provision for his life. You know, I've never been in a place where God hasn't met my need. Amen. I've never been to a place where I can say that I had a need for something and God failed me and God let me down and God didn't do this and God didn't do that. He has always supplied every need I've ever had. I've never went without something that I had a need of. Why is that? Because God has blessed my life. But look at what he says here. He says in verse 2 that we shall have the blessings of our offspring. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And if the Lord tarries long enough, I think I'll get to see some great-great-grandchildren. I don't know. But maybe that might happen. And he says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Amen. You know what the greatest blessing in your children's life is to bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. It doesn't mean that he won't sin. It don't mean that he won't take the wrong path. It never says said that. It said that the things that you've taught him, he cannot get away from. The word of God that's been hid in his heart, he can't get away from. The godly teaching of a godly mother and father upon his life, he can't get away from. The old prodigal son run off into the foreign country, down into the foreign land, and he got down to the hog pen. But praise God, he still remembered what it was like back at dad's house. Amen. He still remembered how good it was and how good it would be to go home. Praise God. I want you to know something. If you have instilled in your children the word of God and the things of God, amen, they shall not depart from it. They can't get away from it. The greatest thing that you can do for a child today is not give it material things, but to give it the things of God. Amen. To teach them the blessings of God. To teach them the bounty of God. To tell them how God has blessed your life. How many times do your children hear you say, as a mother and a father, we're so blessed of God. God has blessed us so much. God has blessed us so tremendously. God has blessed us to where we can't even tell you how much God has blessed us. Mom and dad sit around the house. I hear so many, they complain. You know how I know they complain? Because I hear their kids. Their kids are complainers. Because mom and dad are complainers. Amen? Man, our kids need to hear us talk about how good God is. Job's wife come to him. Well, even before his wife, after the servants come to Job and told him he'd lost everything, didn't have nothing left, even his children were gone. The Bible said Job worshipped God. Job's wife come to him when he got afflicted with the boils and said, Job, you done lost everything. What's the use to keep on going? Why don't you just curse God and die? You know what Job said? Woman, you talk like one of the foolish ones. Yeah. Amen. You know what our children need? You know what our homes need? You know what our churches need? We need more people talking about how good God is instead of how bad our problems are. Amen. How good God has blessed us. And we instill that in our children. It'll last. It'll hold up. And look in verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Amen. You know who the richest man is in this world? It's the man that has a satisfied heart and a satisfied mind. Amen. The Apostle Paul, I said, I've been beaten. I've been caned. I've been beaten with rods. I've been scourged. Shipwrecked and everything else. He said, but I've learned in whatsoever state that I find myself therein to be content. You know what that is? That's one of the greatest blessings. That's one of the greatest riches you'll ever know in life, is to know contentment. You know, I'm a person, I've always got new things, always buying new things. My wife will tell you, I've got more junk than the law allows. Amen. If I die, it's going to take her 10 years to clean the junk out before she can ever sell the place. Amen. But praise God, I've got some things. But you know what? Those things aren't what satisfies me. I just enjoy tinkering with old stuff. That's why I keep her around. Amen. Amen. Praise God. She does too. She keeps me around. Amen. But I like old engines. I like old equipment. And it just seems like old stuff is just made so neat and so much better. And it just got better quality to it. And everything you buy today is old Chinese, and it lasts, and you throw it away and go buy something new. I'm back from the time when you just kept things. You know, that's what's wrong with relationships today. Everybody just throws stuff away. You know, you don't fix it. Amen. You don't think anybody here that's had a perfect marriage, never had a harsh word in your marriage? Is anybody? Yeah. Altar's open up here. Amen. Altar's open up here. But when things are broke, they got to be fixed. Amen. And I learned how to fix things. He says, we're going to be blessed with things. But, you know, all the things in the world don't bring contentment. It's realizing that God has blessed us with these things that brings the contentment. Look what he says. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Let me tell you something. My greatest riches in my house is my wife. My children. Amen. If they took everything else away And I still had her. We started with nothing. Amen. Her mom was a widow woman, had nothing to, I mean, lived on a really small pension, didn't have anything to give us. My mom was the same way, a widow. My mom looked at us when we got married and said, "Don't ask me for anything. I don't have anything to give you." We started with nothing. Amen. Nothing. Anybody else start with nothing? Some of y'all here started with nothing. Amen. We started with nothing. And God has just blessed us. Amen. Man, I was in the Navy. I was an E-nothing. Amen. I had a paycheck that was next to nothing. Amen. And you live from paycheck to paycheck. And there was times when it got close to payday. I mean, there was no running to the store. My oldest son got married, him and his wife. They lived with us for a while. They used to drive me crazy. We got to go to Elkton to get something. They'd run to Elkton, go get something, they'd come back home. They'd be home for about a half hour, 20 minutes. "Oh, we got to run to Elkton or someplace." I said, "What is wrong with you? You were just in Elkton." "Well, we got to go back." "Well, why didn't you get it? Why is it?" "Well, we didn't think about it." "Well, you need to start thinking about things before you go." We didn't have that option when we was first married. Amen. We had married, I mean, we didn't, if we could walk somewhere, we walked. Amen. If it was close enough to walk, we walked there. We didn't ride there because we couldn't afford to waste the gas. Amen. I tell folks, and this is true, we had enough money one time, the day before payday, to go to 7-Eleven and buy one, we could afford one Slurpee. One small Slurpee to share it between us. Amen. So we walked up to the 7-Eleven, we got the Slurpee, we come back, and we enjoyed the Slurpee. I tell people, we took the TV and set it on the hood of the car and turned it on and pretended we was at the drive-in, but we didn't really do that. Amen. But praise God. That's the truth. We've been that tight. But we were blessed. We were blessed. We had money to go buy a Slurpee. Amen. Sometimes we fail to count our blessings. We fail to realize how blessed we are because we want to count our blessings in material things. Our blessing was in the fact that God had made provision for us, and we were more blessed than most people in the world because we had money. We had enough change to go and buy and splurge on a Slurpee. Are you getting me? There's people in this world that go days without eating anything, that go days without drinking clean water anywhere. And they never complain about their circumstances. They don't complain about their situation. We want to count our riches up in the material blessings. Praise God. I'm glad. You know what? If you got change in your pocket today, how many have nothing but change in your pocket? How about you young people? You got a little bit of change, that's all you got? You don't have no dollars? You don't have no money? You know, if you got just change in your pocket, you're richer than 98% of the people in the world today. There's people in this world that would consider you a rich person because you just have some change rattling in your pocket. God's blessings are in His provision for us. And though He says our wealth and riches shall be in His house and His righteousness endures forever, I'm glad that I'm not looking to the things. I'm looking to the One who provides the things. Amen. And that makes me richer than anybody. If all the things are gone, I still have Jesus. Amen. If they come and arrest me, and you know, you never know when the time's going to come. The tides of things change in life, and circumstances change. And I tell you, they're changing real fast in America. Amen. It won't be long. I don't believe before it's going to be hard for us to do what we do right now. But if the time comes that they take me away and they slap me into jail somewhere, and I don't have any of the material things that I had in this world to be blessed with, I still have Jesus. Amen. I'll still be rich. I'll still be a millionaire. I'll still be a king because I'm an heir to all the riches of glory. They can take everything I got here, but they can't take what He's promised me there. I've got a mansion somewhere that has my name on it. The Bible doesn't say I'm going to have my own mansion. Some people get that wrong. He just said in my house, my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He doesn't say that we're all going to have our own mansion. But excuse me. But praise God. Stay back. Unclean. Amen. But I've been a doctor. I've been on antibiotics for about 3 days, so I'm good. Amen. But you know, if they take everything, they can't take what God's promised me. They can't take what God's given me. They can't take what God's made available to me. I look at verse number 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness, he is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. You know what? We can face darkness. This is a dark day in America. This is a dark day throughout the world. There's a pandemic going on. I was reading this article this morning. Sister Sherry shared, and I didn't realize how bad this thing was. But, you know, one person that catches this stuff, they, as best estimates that they have right now, the best that they can calculate it, one person has the ability to infect 3 other people. When you multiply that down, by the time you get down to the 15th step, there's 14,000 people that have been infected by one individual. The average year in flu season, the average flu normally kills in America 600 to 700,000 people. I mean, 60 to 70,000 people, I'm sorry. 60 to 70,000 people in a year die because of flu or, you know, aggravated. You know, they might have others. They probably got other symptoms that are aggravating the thing, but that many people die. They say with this virus, 10 times those numbers are calculated, are figured, are going to die from it. This thing is real. It's a dark time. It's a dark day. But praise God, I can walk through the darkness. Because I don't walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't walk through the darkness by myself. Amen. The light of the world walks with me. Amen. And as long as I got the light of the world, I don't have to fear what darkness brings. Amen. You know, anybody ever been to any of the caverns, visit the caverns anywhere? We've been down to one I like to go to, Smokehole Caverns down in West Virginia. And you go in there and the lady said, now everybody stand still for a moment and don't move. And she reaches up and she flips the light out and the light goes out. And she says, this is TD, total darkness. This is the place in the cave where absolutely no light is able to penetrate. You are standing in total darkness. You know what? I never have to stand in total darkness spiritually. Amen. I never have to stand in total darkness because I've got a light that lives within me. I've got a light that walks with me. I've got a light that goes with me. I've got a light that is for me. I've got a light that sustains me. I've got a light that guides me. He's a lamp and a light unto the way that I go. And I can follow Him. And as long as I'm following Jesus, I don't have to worry about things. Now we're instructed and we're told and we're given a word of God to use and to put our common sense forth. Amen. And to put our common sense forward. But praise God, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter as long as I'm in His will, as long as I'm going where He wants me to go and doing what He wants me to do. I don't have to fear the darkness that's in the world. He might take me out of here because of that darkness and because of the results of that darkness. But praise God, I don't have to fear the darkness because I'm still walking in light. And if I'm walking where He's guiding me, and if I'm walking where He's directed me, maybe He's taking me there for a reason. Why did Job go through what he went through? It wasn't for Job's benefit. You can bet that. Amen. Job got 10 times more when he come out of it than what he had going into it. But I guarantee you, Job would tell you it wasn't worth it. Amen. Why did the people in the Bible go through the things that they went through? So that we could be encouraged. Why does God let us go through things that we got to go through sometimes? So that other people can be encouraged. Sometimes God uses us, and sometimes God directs us, and I don't have to worry about it, and I don't have to fear it, because I'm still walking in the light, and I don't have to worry about it. The Bible says He's gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. He displays the attributes of the one that He follows. Praise God, He's walking in the light, and if He's walking in the light, He needs to do the things that the one that He's following after does. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps." Amen. And if he went this way, and if He suffered and done these things, shouldn't we do the same thing that He done? That's what the Bible says. He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Amen. He suffered, but He left us an example to follow in His steps. He didn't have an easy way. He wasn't widely accepted, but we should follow in His steps. And that's what we need to do as God's people, as God's people who can account for God's blessing upon our life. The Bible says that He was gracious, compassionate, and righteous there in verse number 4. And that's just the way we need to live our lives and the way we need to follow our lives. If you're hoarding toilet paper up and your neighbor needs toilet paper, then praise God, you ought to be gracious enough to give them some toilet paper. Amen. You ought to be gracious, amen, and giving. That's just a righteous thing to do. That's just a compassionate and a right and a good thing to do, amen. I just do what the Lord would have done. I just do what the Lord would have left an example of. I'll be gracious in all that you do. And look at in verse number 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Praise God, a good man, a blessed man, the bounty of a blessed man is that he's not afraid to share. You know, sometimes Christians, God has blessed us tremendously, and we don't want to pass those blessings on to anybody. There's folks in this church that are a great blessing financially. There are folks in this church that are a great blessing spiritually. You know, they're praying, and they let you know that they're praying. There are folks that are a great blessing in this church because they're an encouragement. They're always encouraging. God has given you something. I'll pass it on to somebody else. Don't hoard it up and keep it to yourself. The Bible says He's a lender. He gives when people are in need, and He does it with discretion. Some people want to say, well, so-and-so had a need, and I give them some money. That's nobody's business. Amen. I just give it to them and let them know that you want to be a blessing to them and be a blessing to them, because God has been a blessing to you. And don't let the world and pride get into your heart. And verse 6, surely He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He's steadfast. He will not move. He's steadfast. He has a great testimony. He's steadfast. And he don't waver in what He does. His righteousness endures. And He stands. Praise God this morning. What we need is some more of God's people who are blessed that will stop wavering. Some more of God's people who are blessed by God and blessed by the bounty of God, to quit moving to the things of the world and looking to the things of this world to find their pleasure, looking to the things of the world to find their blessing. Preacher, we won't be in church. We're going boating. Oh, preacher, we won't be in church. We're going camping. Oh, preacher, we won't be in church. We're going to this and we're going to that. We're going to a concert. We're going to this thing and that thing. We've got all kinds of things that's going on. You know what the church needs? It needs more people who are blessed and know they're blessed, and they're blessed enough to where they want to be in the house of God so that they can worship Him and just let Him know how much they appreciate the blessings that He's bestowed upon them. Amen. Steadfast and unmovable, steadfast and faithful, steadfast and leaving a testimony behind. Let's move on to number 3, the boldness of the blessed man. His life is a testimony of God's protection. Verses 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. Look at this. Bad news does not affect him. Amen. The coronavirus doesn't get him fearful. The coronavirus doesn't change his outlook on the Lord. The Bible says he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. I don't know how many of you have had to hear some evil evil tidings and some bad news in your day. But if you're a child of God, amen, don't let it get you down. If you're a child of God, don't let it tear down your testimony. If you're a child of God, don't let it discourage you and bring you down. It says, he shall not let that be a factor in his life. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I don't care what it is. They can tell you got cancer. You got Jesus, amen. I just trust in him. They can tell you your loved one's not going to make it. If you know Jesus and they know Jesus, amen. I just praise God and thank him for that gift of salvation. And you don't have to be afraid. You know, I've had to let some loved ones go. I've had to say goodbye down here. But I could do so with the knowledge of I could do so with the peace. I could do so with the hope and the understanding that this isn't all there is. There's going to be a goodbye down here. And one day I'm going to have to say goodbye myself as I leave this old world. Goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Amen. We need maybe to hear that. Amen. Praise God. I can say goodbye because one day I know there's going to be a welcome home. One day I know there's going to be a celebration somewhere. I don't know just how it's going to be. I don't know what it's just going to be like. How about the Bible tells us we're going to be reunited. The Bible tells us we'll be known as we're known. The Bible tells us there'll be no husbands and wives. We neither marry nor given in marriage. But I'll know my loving wife. Amen. I'll know the love that she had for me and the sacrifices that she made for me and the blessings that she's been to me. Praise God. When I get to the other side, but when we get over there, our goals are not going to be to one another. Our desire and our affections are not going to be to one another. Our desire and our affections going to be to Jesus. Amen. And if they tell me today that I got to go, I know I'm going to see her again one day. If they tell her that she's got to go, I know I'm going to get to see her again. And praise God because of that hope and because of that desire. Praise God. I don't get fearful when all this junk goes down. Man, I don't want to have to suffer through any of it. I feel for Tanya and others that are dealing with cancer. And Stacy, my daughter-in-law's mother. They're not sure just what they're going to do with her yet. She's got nodules. They're not sure just how big they are, what kind they are, and everything else. They're just in the process of doing all the testing right now. I feel for her. They can't do the surgeries that she needs. They say she'll never survive the different surgeries. I feel for her, but I don't have to fear for things like that because I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. You say, well, preacher, that's a lot of talk. That's a bunch of big talk. I've been there when the doctor said, we're going to cut your leg off. My wife can tell you. He was all apologetic, and I told him, man, I don't need you apologizing. This ain't your fault. You're going to do the best thing for me that you can. You know, don't apologize. You know, just go do your job. And he looked up at me and said, well, I am just an instrument. And this doctor just happened to be one of the top orthopedic surgeons in the United States at the time. See, I can have that peace. I was on a ship that we wasn't sure wasn't sinking. But I just trusted God. I said, this is the way it's going to be. It's the way it's going to be. I didn't relish drowning. Water's coming in everywhere. No way to pump it out. But I could commit myself. As a young man, I could commit myself to God and not have to fear, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Verse number 7 says, he should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Verse number 8, his heart is established. He should not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118, verse 8. When we trust the Lord, we establish ourselves and we set a pattern up. He's established. He has his heart fixed in the right place. So he don't have to be afraid. Folks, the coronavirus is real. It's not a hoax. People are dying. Thousands are dying all over the world. It's multiplying, and I think they said in France and Rome right now, even in Great Britain, they just put restrictions on this morning to people coming from the United Kingdom and Ireland because the thing is growing there. It's real. But I'm trusting Jesus. It's real. They're doing everything they can do. But I'm trusting Jesus. I'll take the recommendations. I'll follow. Man, we're not shaking hands. I had to keep my hands in my pocket this morning, all morning before Sunday school. I had to keep my hands in my pocket because when I come to church, first thing I want to do is shake hands. So I just stuck my hands in my pockets and said, that's the best way to keep me from wanting to do it. Amen. I'll follow the guidelines they give me. The Lord told Israel to stay away from the lepers. The lepers had to quarantine themselves. They had to do certain things. The unclean person, if they had some kind of an issue in their body, they had to quarantine themselves. If that's what we need to do, and that's what we're instructed to do, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do all that trust in Jesus. Amen. Call on God, but row away from the rocks. Do you get that? Call on God, but do your part. That's not saying God's not able, but we have to do our part. Amen? We have to do our part. The boldness of the blessed man is his testimony of God's protection. And then lastly, the benefit of the blessed man is a life of a testimony of godliness. Look at verses 9 and 10. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor, the wicked shall see it and be grieved, he shall gnash with his teeth and melt away, the desire of the wicked shall perish. He's able to be a blessing to others through the blessings that God has bestowed upon him. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. Amen. What we need to have is a heart of giving. Amen. You want to get God's blessing, give. Amen. You want to see God bless you, start giving. Ask Brother Jim. We're up to 37%? 30% of our income goes to our missions program now. Goes to missionaries. Amen. And we've never got to a place where God hasn't blessed. Sometimes we look and things seem to get real thin, but God always provides. God always blesses. Amen. You know what I've learned in my life? You can't outgive God. And if you're going to take the blessings that God gives you and pass them on to help somebody else, amen, God will keep giving you blessings. But if you're going to be stingy and hoard them all up, you know what happens? God will shut up the windows of heaven. Amen. You know what God told his people there in Malachi? He says, the reason you're not experiencing the blessings is you've quit giving. He said, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you can't contain. The blessed man, experiences the benefits of being a blessed man when he takes what God has given him and he uses it to be a blessing to others. God did not save you. God did not save me to sit in a church and sit on the pew and to do nothing. He saved you. He saved me. He left us here that we could be busy in a lost and a dying world telling other people about Jesus. Amen. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. He doesn't forget who he is. He's a blessed man. He doesn't forget what God has done. Took a nobody and made somebody. Amen. Took a no-good, dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking, low-down, stinking sinner that deserved to be in hell with his back broke. Saved him by his marvelous grace, amen. And called him to preach and gave him the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. He took some old wretch sitting in a pew back there this morning and he saved your soul and he saved you that you might go away from this place and be able to tell somebody about what Jesus has done for an old wretch like you. How Jesus saved somebody like you as old. Oh, Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. I want you to know something. I was a wretch on my way to hell, but Amazing Grace stopped by my way one Tuesday night in a little Baptist church in Elkton and saved my soul. And praise God, he set me on a path to do something for him. And though I've rebelled, I've run, I've hid, I've done everything that I could do to keep from doing it, praise God, in spite of me, he chose to bless me anyway. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Bible says the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Man, when we live a life that's pleasing unto God, it speaks volumes. We don't necessarily have to say anything. But actions speak louder than words. Like that song, you walk walks and you talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Anybody ever heard that? So much truth in that. Amen. Is what we say, what we do. Amen. Is what we tell others what we do. You can tell everybody how good a Christian you are. But if they don't see you faithful to the house of God, it says, well, that's just another one of them. Amen. You can tell everybody how much you love Jesus. But sit down in the restaurant, get ready to eat, and you dig in like a bunch of hogs instead of asking the Lord to bless the food that he's provided for you. That speaks volumes. Amen. You can say all kinds of things, but your actions speak volumes. The Apostle Paul said, ye are our epistle known and read of men. Our lives are a testimony unto God. And do we let our lives be a testimony of how blessed we are because God has been so good to us? How blessed we are in the things that God has privileged us with having, experiencing, knowing, and doing. Or do our lives just say we're like anybody else? Just another loudmouth speaking a bunch of stuff that they don't really believe because they don't live it. Don't testify to it. I'm blessed and I know that I am. And I know where my blessings come from. How about you this morning? Maybe you've never invited Jesus into your heart. Maybe you don't know the blessing of living in peace and living without having to fear what's going on in the world. Without having to fear death. Without having to fear eternity. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.